Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. You're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in the book of Jonah, taking a look at chapter 4, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Compassion for the Lost.
If God can bring the king of Nineveh to repentance, guess who he can bring to repentance? Gavin Newsom. He can bring this entire state if he wants, but his people need to remember grace that they've been given and what they've received. And that is when they will truly desire to be effective in the cause for which our Lord left us here.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I gotta go back and tell my prophet buddies what I just did. I'd rather die. In that way, it's kind of like, I just can't get this out of my head. It's kind of like the whole story of the prodigal sons, sons plural. The younger runs away in a rebellion, squanders his life, just wants the money. It's the only reason he's there, runs away. But that older brother in the house, man, sour, bitter. Look at the attitude toward the kingdom of God. How is that possible? You have everything. Despising the goodness of the father when the son comes home, your brother. In this way, Jonah has always been a book on the mission of the church. Squandering the inheritance, but the upright son, the good son, always in the house, always obeying the rules, always doing what's right, always there, refuses even to come in and celebrate when that son came home. It's a, beloved, a probing exposure in this book for those who've been given everything. Said it a million times, you know, we've had so much. The covenants, the sign to us and our children, the adoption, the will of God, pastor sent. And we're never satisfied. We don't like his ways. We don't like his worship. Remember, a pastor was once asked, what are you doing for evangelism in your church? Knowing this attitude in his church, he replied and said, we're doing a lot to get the people saved here. Are we thankful? The magnanimous depth God stooped to pull you out of the pit you're in from the beginning? I think that's where we have to begin. With all missions talk, I think there's so much talk about missions. And really, all this talk about missions is just talk. You got to start talking about the gospel because you're not going to make anyone missions minded without the gospel getting into the hearts of people. That God, our God, desires to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. And that there's a world dying out there, right? There's a world dying out there. I recognize Jonah as a prophet. So it's not always a quite one-for-one correspondence, but there's a principle here that is, not everyone is called to go and to preach. Not everyone is called and sent to be a preacher of the gospel. There's great confusion on that today. But I do think the book challenges the mentality of the believer. I wrote a piece years ago, Arise, Jonah, go to California, that wretched state. It's $5 a gasoline here now. Six, sorry. Seven next week. Taxes are out of control. The roadways are falling apart. The whole thing is overcrowded. Homelessness is endemic in California's major cities. The politicians have ruined the paradise we're in. If you think I'm exaggerating, Victor David Hansen is now asking if California has become pre-modern, which I think leads to the larger question of why does God leave us here in the first place? Seems to me that's a fundamental question to this. Why does God even leave us here? It was Jesus himself who prayed, "Father, I pray that you do not take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." That's a pretty good prayer. Don't remove them. We're fine with that until I say, "Father, I pray that you do not take them out of California." Say it out loud. Well, don't. "Father, I pray that you do not take them out of California." I think people have a right and conscience to better their lives. But I want to challenge a wrong mentality in this. That if all we're after in life is a bigger house, more space, less people, more money, and the ease of being with people who are just comfortable for me, who are just like me, then you got to be challenged as to why God even left you in this world to begin with. Jesus gave you an identity. You're my salt and light. Jonah's a great exposure here. Verse 5 says that Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made for himself a little booth and sat under it in the shade. Remember when Sodom was destroyed, and you'll catch this phrase here. You know this. What I'm about to do with this is correct because he waits to see what's going to happen to the city. When Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, God told Lot to leave and to not look back. Remember? And the city would be destroyed by sulfur and fire. Jonah wants to watch. He wants to see this thing. He wanted to see sulfur balls fall on the city. If you go out I-40, we did this once. This is the neatest thing. You go out to Meteor Crater. I still have the mug. I bought a mug. It's just, I drink from it every day. I think of Meteor Crater. It's amazing. It's this amazing over a mile long meteor that struck the earth and a big hole sits there. How many years ago? That's what Jonah wants. So he builds himself a little shelter off to the side. He's not leaving until there is a meteor crater on this place. Well, then the most amazing thing happens. It gets kind of hot out there in the desert. That's what happens, right? God, out of his sheer goodness, he's so good, he sees his little prophet out there. He prepares him a plant. So it comes up over Jonah. Must have been this amazing plant, so comfortable for him. In fact, the verb here says that this plant, the vine, saved him. Is that hot? All this discomfort in the heat. Well, he wants heat on them. And for the first time in the book, we get joy from Jonah. In the first time in the book, we get joy. Verse 6, he rejoiced with great joy over the plant. He has his little desert oasis out there, doesn't he? He has his little resort. It's the best you could probably get. God built him a plant. He's away from these infidels. I preached, get me away. Why isn't he still there helping him? Right? What are you doing? Then comes the lesson. The next day, God prepared a worm. God is the God of the worm. God can corrode our creaturely comforts in a moment. It eats the plant, and it withers up and dies. That must have been some worm. Then as the sun came up, God prepares a blistering east wind, probably similar to our Santa Ana. It's like 60 miles an hour, maybe more. The sun beats on his head. The wind is blowing. His plant's dead, and he grows faint. And Jonah says, I want to die again. Just kill me. Better for me to die than to live. God responds, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. What an absolute mess of a prophet, by the way. I mean, I'm so thankful for this. Pastors can be just as messy, and I just look at Jonah. I am Jonah. It's just true. We can be incredibly selfish. When God prepares a worm in your life, let's get practical. We like practicality. He prepares a worm in your life to gnaw and expose and take down those things that you're living for, forgetting, and it exposes how great that you have forgotten his love and his mercy and his grace to you. We don't sustain ourselves at all. It's not by our hard work or ingenuity that you have all this. He gave it to you. He gives and he takes. East winds have a way of drawing out the heart. God has a plan to evangelize the world with the gospel. And I confess, you all can confess, we all know it. We're good at creaturely comforts. Can barely lift a finger at times to do anything in the kingdom of God. Because we're so comfortable and we have so much. I'm cold today. I'm hot today. I'm hungry today. I don't feel good today. I. And God takes you to the heart of the question. Is it right for you to be angry about your circumstance? You who have everything? You didn't make it on your own. You didn't make the plant green. It came up one night and perished in the next. See the question? Your happiness is bound up in my goodness, isn't it? Your happiness, Jonah, is bound up in my goodness, isn't it? You didn't deserve that. Nothing you have. You had no corner on my mercy. You're not a better person than them. Everything you have is grace. And I took away your plant for a day. And look at what it exposed. You had a little discomfort from the heat. What about them? What about the heat that's on them? It's then that we need a worm in the wind to remind us what this is all about. What about the great discomfort of people who don't have any salvation? Lost people matter to God, so they should probably matter to us. What I love about, after all this painful confrontation and all it exposes, is that the character of God is on display, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Jonah, you rejoiced over the plant. You didn't even create it. You didn't even work for it. It's just a plan I gave you by mercy. So, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right and their left and much livestock? End of the book. That time, that's what was in the city. It grew to 1 million. 120,000 people at that point. It's just under the size of Escondido. Should I not? You're worried about your oasis in the desert and your comforts. You didn't even make them. You're mad at me for caring about people I did make. Nineveh has all sorts of people entrapped in their sins. Oh, it's bad. Oh, yeah, it's bad. So what do you think we ought to do about that? Why do you think we're here? I'm merciful to you. Why don't I have the right to be merciful to them? You care about the plant, but you don't care about Nineveh. You see? That's the emphasis here. They're going to perish. They're helpless. You've been given the answer all your life. Don't you think life's bigger than us? And I don't want to be too hard on Jonah because I know I'm like him in every way. If you've known mercy and pity, shouldn't this be your great concern for them? That they don't go down to Sheol forever, barred off forever from the presence of God? Remember that, Jonah? Wasn't a good experience, was it? What does your bitter anger in life really say? You're so bitter against God. Why are you so bitter against Him? You're mad at grace. What a message for us. God gave us a much better gift, right? God gave us a much better Jonah who came here from heaven and didn't even look out for his own interests and denied himself and was concerned with one thing. He's our Savior. Jonah wasn't. Get it? But he willingly went down and went down and went down and, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when raised, his great concern was where we're coming in Matthew 28, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize, preach the gospel, teaching them to obey what I've commanded. That's what he cared about. And that's how good he's been to us. The book ends with a question, but it also shows something of the incredible character of our God, that our God desires to forgive the most wicked people. And that has to be reminded and brought to us constantly because I say this, the political wars of our day have programmed us to hate our enemies. And thus we're abandoning mission because of this stuff. That's why I said the best way for a church to be more mission-minded is not to beat people in the head about missions. It is to start preaching the gospel a whole lot more. How do you look at the wicked? How do you look at these people mulling around? They don't know their right hand from their left. How do you think God looks at them? Sometimes we're so buried in ourselves that we're unable to hear the cries of those around us. We would just open our mouths. But in all this, it's not a distressing beatdown to think that their salvation depends upon you. No, Jonah understood. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's his work. But he will have that work done. That's why Jonah's here. Even if he goes kicking and screaming. But it's meant to not make us go kicking and screaming. It was Jesus who said that I came to this earth for what reason? To seek and to save that which is lost. He rose from the dead. He triumphed over sin and death to make it so. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We are beggars. We. Think of how good you have it. Then don't forget why you're here. Should I not show mercy? I think God left that open for us. Should I not show mercy? Fill it in. Just fill it in. How many people are in this state? Is it how many million? 40? Is that right? I don't know. Should I not show mercy? To California? That state that doesn't know its right hand from its left? These leaders that don't know their right hand from their left? And much cattle? Now, Emily reminded me before the service this morning, no one dies in this book besides the worm and the plant. I kill plants all the time. Worms I smash, but not people. If God can bring the king of Nineveh to repentance, guess who he can bring to repentance? Gavin Newsom. He can bring this entire state if he wants. But his people need to remember grace that they've been given and what they've received. And that is when they will truly desire to be effective in the cause for which our Lord left us here. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing us your compassion, that attribute, and your forbearance and your mercy. We pray, Lord, that and confess right here as a prophet like Jonah, that Father, we get so caught up in us. And we forget these basic truths. Give us a heart of compassion to those who need it. May we remember that we needed it first. And I pray, O Lord, that you would have great compassion on our state, our city, our leaders, Governor Newsom. Bring them to repentance. Bring them to faith. And then the abortion mills might close. Then we might see true change in a culture given over to lawlessness. But we ultimately don't have confidence in the city of man. We have confidence in the city of God. And so we pray, O Lord, advance your cause in your church, build your church strong, and save. And remember your promises to Abraham, that in him all the Gentiles of the earth would be blessed, all the nations of the world would be blessed, and that that number will be as the sand on a seashore and the stars in the heavens. And what an encouragement that is to us to be about your work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until then, God bless.